As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Aldama driving. Missed the shot. Oh, John!
What happened to the Ja Morant extremely questionable injury report as he came out on fire? Didn't need much from him after that as the Memphis Grizzlies end the season for the Dallas Mavericks. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ. RJ Choppy out this week on vacay in Italy. And we got Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube reacting to the Tim McMahon Dallas Mavericks story that just came out from ESPN. And Bobby, how would you summarize it so far?
Bad. Very bad overall. I mean, this whole thing continues to make a big portion of this article is about the training staff.
Yeah.
And their disagreements with each other. And how some of that tension has bled over and caused issues with the team as a whole. But
Billsborough and Belton. I thought this was going to be all about Casey Smith, but these two other names are in here for probably the majority of the article.
Yeah, I would say the Casey Smith portion is the catalyst, kind of the domino that got pushed over that changed everything is what this feels like. But the Casey Smith issue, like we read last hour, where he was essentially fired over Zoom by Nico Harrison while his mom was dying, that's a brutal look. That's the most damning thing that's in here. But after that, yeah, this issue of Billsborough and Belton, who were brought in to kind of replace Casey Smith, replace some of the training staff, and their tension with each other, and then specifically Billsborough's tension with Luka Doncic's body team, is what really caused a lot of these issues.
A friend of Luka's grumbled, "You don't perform like he does if you're a fat, drunk pig," referring to the way that they have painted Luka's conditioning. Why did Dirk leave? Well, it sounds like he was not happy with the dismissals of Casey Smith and then Scott Tomlin, who was working with the Mavs as well. He leaves and becomes a part of Dirk's foundation. So Dirk is the one, it sounded like it was like, okay, I'm stepping away from this because of the moves that you're making towards people I love and respect.
Yeah, and it 100%, the Mavs did not tell him you don't have a place here anymore. It doesn't sound like, and by the way, there's very little in here about Mark Cuban's departure. It's kind of, I mean, it's referenced and said that Nico Harrison won out and successfully cut him out of basketball ops. And
Mark Cuban's tried to serve as the middleman between Nico and Luka when Nico was not happy about Luka's conditioning.
Yeah, like he wanted to essentially be the mediator with Nico, Luka, and then Billsborough and make sure that everybody got on the same. And his services were declined because he had already been cut out. And this just doesn't.
And Nico wanted a bunch of yes men. He wanted yes men energy. You know, one of the things I was just guessing about Nico Harrison is that he appears so stoic and so confident in himself. It's very easy to identify, in my opinion, insecurity in people. The way they act, the way they have to talk, how loud they have to be. And I would not have guessed that Nico Harrison was very insecure and needed yes men around him. Some of the people I respect the most are fine. It's like Barkley and MJ. Charles says he's got his crew that always will be honest with him. Michael's crew is a bunch of ass kissers, like Ahmad Rashad. I think Quinn Buckner, who is one of the voices of the Pacers. And Charles wanted to not be a yes man for Michael. And when he was on television and said, Michael's just not doing a good enough job running the Charlotte team. And he doesn't have anyone to tell him no. And Michael stopped talking to Charles forever because of that. I would have thought that, you know, Nico could operate in a think tank and have, you know, yes and no people. But he was insecure. He wanted to get rid of people who were really good at their jobs, people who were really tight with Luka and my proxy Dirk. Dirk, not as big of a factor because he's not, you know, sitting here playing at the time. And he wanted to cut those people out and get them out of there. I understand if you feel like Casey Smith is a Dirk person and not necessarily a Maverick person. That's the way it's coming across, the way that Nico felt. But there are people in this who are saying he wanted cheerleaders and he wanted yes men and people to go ahead and just blindly do his thing and follow his blueprint.
Yeah, which, like I said, I don't know how he became who he was and got to the level he was if that's the way he did business. Like everybody talks about that you couldn't find a person to say a bad thing about him when he got hired here. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, you just went and signed a superstar to be a GM, a guy that NBA teams have been dying to get in their front office for forever. You finally got him. And the fact that he's now, I guess, just revealed himself to be a dictator in the front office and somebody who refuses to hear any sort of...
And how about Cuban bringing in Nico and then Nico helping to push Cuban out? Like a little backstab. Mark Cuban brought in Nico Harrison.
It's like when the Nosebleeds brought me in and started interviewing me, and then I went and talked to Zach's sister. That's similar how it is. But I will say this is... And there's another article that dropped around the same time as McMahon's from Brad Townsend over at the Dallas Morning News, which is not the same sort of expose, but it's just talking about expectations the rest of the way. And he does say that from all indications, Patrick Dumont does not plan to publicly address Nico Harrison's job. Said also people should absolutely take it as a signal that the fact that he made Nico go out there and talk means Nico's back, that he's going to be here, and that it's something that Patrick Dumont's committed to, is because, hey, you got to start giving some answers related to this. But one of the other interesting things they talk about is Brad Townsend had mentioned one of the issues they had early on, an issue of Nico wanting something despite others in the organization saying stop it, was Christian Wood, that apparently he was told prominently by Casey Smith, no, don't do it.
Don't bring in Christian.
And then he brought Christian Wood in, and apparently Casey Smith had an awareness that he's really bad locker room and on-court fit, don't bring him in, and had told Nico Harrison this. Nico Harrison did it anyway, and then it obviously didn't work out. But that's an instance pretty prominently where I would, if what we know about Nico Harrison or what we think we know about Nico Harrison is accurate of just, I want yes men, then I would absolutely also think he would go, you're the trainer. I don't need to hear from you about how you think somebody fits into the locker room. Or like, I don't need your feedback on this. And it sounds like he just had made up in his mind, you're not going to be here with me. You're not going to be partnered with me here in Dallas.
Luka Doncic coming out and just dunking on the Mavs front office and Nico again. The PR battle continues to be 100-0 or 77-0. Mavs, by the way, eliminated 77 days after the Luka trade. They had a 70% chance of making the playoffs if they did not trade him, according to ESPN analytics. And the title of the documentary has to be 77 Days, the destruction of the Dallas Mavericks with Doncic in Dallas. Here's Luka with Malika Andrews talking about all this criticism from the front office that has happened.
It's just sad the way he's talking right now. I never say anything bad about him, and I just want to move on. The fans, my ex-teammates, always keep it hard. It's time.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For me to move on from there.
Have you spoken to Nico Harrison since you left Dallas?
No.
Have you spoken to him on the night that you were traded?
No.
Was your intention to finish your career in Dallas?
Of course. It's an easy question.
I wish she would have asked if he's talked to Kid. And I wish she would have asked, do you think Jason agreed with Nico about the deal? I still don't have that answer. I'm dying to get that answer on what Jason Kidd really wanted to do.
Yeah, because I mean, that seems to be the biggest unknown in all this still. Is, I think Tim McMahon came on here and McMahon's obviously got a good beat on what's going on with the team. Even if he's making an assumption, I think it's usually based in an understanding of how things are operating. And he had made it sound, at least when he talked to us a couple different times since the Luka trade, that he doesn't buy that Kid didn't know anything. He was completely in the dark.
Yeah.
And that it may have just been more he didn't totally get in the way. That I don't know that it was he is an active participant, but it's probably similar to just you were a witness to it, though. You didn't stop it.
Yeah.
You didn't try to stop it, and you could have.
More from Tim's piece. It did not help matters that Luka was hit in his left calf while scrimmaging with teammates at SMU before training camp opened. It was initially believed to be just a bruise, but after Luka experienced significant soreness in the opening practice of camp, an MRI revealed a grade 1 strain, which the Mavs did not mention in their injury release. Luka sat out the preseason, added more than a dozen pounds during his absence, frustrating and angering Harrison and others in the organization. Luka, using his own team of doctors instead of the Mavs physicians, was diagnosed with a sprained right wrist on November 20th. Nico and the Mavs medical staff considered the diagnosis a cover-up to allow Luka time to work on his conditioning and shed weight after a sluggish start to the season. So they didn't want to embarrass him, so they made up that wrist injury that we knew about. On November 29th, a day before the fifth and final game he sat out, a TV in the media room at the Mavs practice facility was tuned into the closed circuit feed of Luka scrimmaging with low minutes players and staffers, launching long jumpers on almost every possession. When a team employee noticed the feed, they changed the channel quickly, saying they were unsure how it became available. The feed has not been shown in the media room since. Hmm. Okay.
It's a mess. This is a total mess. This entire organization is a mess. They've got the other issue in here. It's something we all assume, something we talked about, that Anthony Davis and his return when he came back. They give that as another example of just how there are issues with this training staff and communication.
Because, well, let me finish this up real quick because I'm reading as I go still. The tension between the sides soared after Luka sustained another left calf strain, his fourth in a 28-month span on Christmas Day. Lucas can't believe he had returned too quickly from a left heel bruise he had sustained during his 45-point triple-double against the Warriors and had been playing on his toes to avoid discomfort in his heel. Nico blamed poor conditioning. They also drastically disagreed on the timetable for Luka's return after getting the MRI. Billsboro believed Luka could be back in 2 or 3 weeks, while Luka's team adamantly stated he needed to sit out 6 weeks. They got their way, and a target return date was set for February 8th at home against the Rockets. That, quote, deepened the divide, according to a source. Another major disagreement emerged between the two sides when Luka refused Nico's request to join the team on a 5-game road trip.
It's the issue here is just it feels so much like Nico having opinions about how things should operate medically.
This is very Tom Brady-esque with Belichick in, look, you already, and I would side with Nico here, you're already thinking the guy does not train and work as hard as you want. Now, you put that to the side, right, when he's averaging 38-8, but then you know that Casey Smith is a Luka person. You know that Luka already has his own medical team. You don't believe that his own medical team is really treating him without bias, right? They're going to side with him, and you got to cede to it. And Bill Belichick did not want to cede to Tom Brady's guy, Alex Guerrero, in the facility. He banned Alex Guerrero. So it's really tough when your star has his own people who you think are placating him and you're fighting over the treatment that the team wants versus the player and his people.
Yeah, and I guess that's a function of that you're talking about there, of just being him thinking that he's not doing enough or that the advice is wrong, because he was with Kobe all the time. He clearly idolizes Kobe. Kobe had his own body team. Kobe had his own people that he worked with outside the Lakers. And I mean, look, you look here, it's like whenever we talk about, while you were out, Choppy and I had talked about this one day, the idea of, okay, if Dirk was playing now, would Nico have a problem with Holger? Like being here as the jump shot doctor? Like, I mean, that's something that NBA
players... Is Holger applying what Nico also believes in for his vision?
I mean, that clearly seems to be all that matters to Nico, is that, are you in complete agreement with me? Do not challenge me. It's just, it's so authoritarian, and
Nico got frustrated because they couldn't truly fix the conditioning question that had lingered.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Now, the other aspect of that, it says that with Harrison under fire, Anthony Davis was motivated to make a strong first impression to the outraged Mavs fan base in the first home game after the shocking blockbuster deal. He acknowledged that he should have waited another game or two to return, but Davis said it was his decision, made in consultation with his personal medical team and Billsboro. So Anthony Davis also has his own body team, it looks like.
Yes, and he wanted to do a solid for Nico.
Yeah.
To try to make him look good.
Which clearly, again, if there are guys like Anthony Davis, who Anthony Davis doesn't seem like a bad guy, he seems like a pretty good guy, actually. Yes. And he's a hard worker. Clearly, he sees a different side of Nico. So there's some disconnect here with Nico's relationships with people that we still have not figured out yet.
877-881-1053, the way to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Where is your panic meter when it comes to the Dallas Stars with Game 2 tonight? That's next, and below the bell on the home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.